As you can see, we're looking at Christ, our great high priest. So it is mentioned a few times from throughout after chapter 2 through to chapter 5 of Hebrews. Last week, Colin started our series for us, looking at God Speaks, where he took us through how chapter 1 from Hebrews, and we saw that God spoke in many different ways to the people. Over thousands of years. And he began with the prophets first. In the Old Testament, people like Amos, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and many others. And God not only spoke through these prophets, we saw that he also used things like visions, dreams, and even face-to-face encounters on different occasions to give them messages. The span of around 2,000 years, God chose to communicate with his people through this way until Jesus Christ, his son, was born. Once Jesus was born, had grown to the age of about 30, we see that God's communication shifted. It changed. He now spoke through Jesus Christ and his ministry on this earth. And we saw that he taught to large and small gatherings. He spoke sometimes in parables. He even performed a number of miracles and even willingly went to his death on the cross to communicate the message that God had for his people. There was no more need for prophets or prophecies because Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of them all. But Jesus didn't just fulfill the role of the prophet, he also fulfilled the role of the king and priest, and in particular, high priest, which we'll look at in more detail today. Now, you might be thinking, if you were here last week, that why does it even matter if Jesus is our great high priest? Because didn't Colin say last week that that was then, and now God speaks through his Spirit to us today? And that is right. That is what Colin said. But he also did say that all things that the Holy Spirit does and gives to us is to glorify Jesus Christ. So the question today is, why does it matter if Jesus is our great high priest? Let me just pray before we jump into it any further. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for how it continuously applies to our life in new ways, Lord. We thank you that what has been written thousands of years ago to a people in a different time, in a different context, can still be applied to the things that we are dealing with today, Lord. So I pray that you would take the words that I've prepared here and use them to speak your truths to your people, and that you would just give me courage and boldness to declare your truths today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So why does it matter if Jesus is our great high priest? In order for us to answer this question, we first need to understand the role of the high priest. And for that, we are going to jump back, obviously, into the Old Testament. So we're going to be looking at, beginning with Exodus 28. We're going to be jumping around a little bit, looking at the different roles. Exodus 28, verse 1, it says, this is where the people had come out of the captivity in Egypt. They'd gone through the Red Sea, and they're starting now to talk about setting up the tabernacle and the tent. And then we see rules and stuff are getting laid out to Moses. And in 28 verse 1, God says this. He says to Moses, call for your brother Aaron and his sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Set them apart from the rest of the people of Israel so they may minister to me and be my priests. The priests, we can see, were someone who had been specifically chosen by God, sorry. They'd been chosen by God. They were often, several priests that were selected at a time, chosen to carry out the preparations and a lot of the work that was needed. Excuse me. that were needed in order for the sacrifices and stuff to happen. But there was only ever one high priest at a time that was allowed to then take those prepared things into the Holy of Holies on behalf of the people of Israel. And as from the children's talk, we know that Aaron was that first chosen high priest, chosen by God from the tribe of the Levites, which then meant, because God had chosen this tribe of Levites, that they would carry on and continue to fulfill the priesthood role after each priest had passed away. Being chosen for this role wasn't something that was taken lightly. It came with great responsibility and expectation. The person or the priest needed to be living the most holy life that they could, yet while still remaining as a sinful human. And so, as you could imagine, those two coming together meant that at times there were failures. There were mistakes that were made. And in particular, not long after these rules had been laid out, Aaron's two sons experienced this in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, put coals of fire in their incense burners and sprinkled incense over them. In this way, they disobeyed the Lord by burning before him the wrong kind of fire, different than he had commanded. So fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and burned them up, and they died there before the Lord. And we can see here a perfect example of not living up to the expectation and responsibilities that they have. But this was also key to the priesthood's role, and in particular the high priest's role, is because the high priest needed to be someone who could understand and who could sympathise with the people's needs and with their struggles that they were presented with in their day-to-day life. And that way, they had the ability. So when the people would come before them, the priest knew and could relate to these people that are coming before them that are struggling with the battles of life, and they could deal gently with them and help them. Excuse me. As well as being chosen from his people by God, and being able to understand the people's needs, the high priest was also given the responsibility to carry out the Day of Atonement service for God's people. And we see this, it's explained in much detail in Leviticus chapter 16, but we see at the very end here, the last couple verses, it says, "On the 10th day of the appointed month in early autumn, you must deny yourselves, neither native-born Israelites nor foreigners living among you may do any kind of work. This is a permanent law to you. And on that day, offerings of purification will be made for you, and you will be purified in the Lord's presence from all your sins." This took place once a year to atone for all the sins that the people had committed throughout that year, including the high priest himself. If you read through the entire process in Leviticus chapter 16, you can see it broken down into extreme detail of all the little separate steps. But to summarize it for you today, the high priest would first... Thanks, sweetie. Excuse me. So summarizing it today, the priest would first have to present his own sin offering, and he would do this in order to shed its blood so that he could then purify himself and also his family, so then that would allow him to be eligible to then go on and offer sacrifices on behalf of the entire nation of Israel. And so once he was purified himself, then the nation of Israel would present two male goats, as well as a number of other sacrifices as well. And these goats, Aaron would bring them before the Lord, and he would cast lots to determine, as we mentioned in the children's talk, which one would be sacrificed as an offering and which one would become the scapegoat to be sent off into the wilderness with the people's sin so that they would be made right with the Lord. The high priest was someone chosen by God from his people. It was someone who was able to understand and sympathize with the people's needs, and they were responsible for the Day of Atonement service each year. And the high priest was also the mediator or the intercessor between God and the people. And we see this take place in Ezra's case as one of the high priests in Ezra chapter 9, verses 5 to 6. Excuse me. In chapter 9, verse 5 and 6, it says, "At the time of the sacrifice, I stood up, being Ezra, from where I sat in mourning with my clothes torn. I fell to my knees and I lifted my hands to God and I prayed." And he goes on to pray a prayer interceding for the people of Israel, for the sins that they committed and the situation they were in. The high priest was the people's only connection to God, not only for the Day of Atonement where they would come all before him together, but throughout the year as well. They were given the responsibility to be praying on behalf and interceding for the people when they were maybe wandering away from God or not adhering to his teachings. And the fact is that if anyone else who wasn't a high priest dared to approach the sanctuary or do anything that the high priest's responsibility was, Numbers tells us that their story wouldn't last very long. In Numbers chapter 3, verses 10, it says that any unauthorized person who goes too near to the sanctuary must be put to death. So this was the role of the great high priest in the Old Testament. They were chosen by God's people. They were able to understand the people's needs. They were responsible for the Day of Atonement. They were a mediator and interceding for the people, between God and the people, as well as then also carrying out a number of secondary duties as well. But the problem with the high priests that we see here in the Old Testament was that these could never satisfy God's anger. They were doing all these things on a yearly basis to try and keep themselves right with God. But the problem was that these priests, even though they were priests and set apart and they were given the responsibility to live as perfect lives as they could as sinful men, they were imperfect people. And they were imperfect people who were carrying out these things, trying to please a perfect God. And that's why we need Jesus to be our perfect great high priest. Jesus fulfilled the role of the high priest perfectly. Just as in the Old Testament, as we've seen, we're going to look now and just see how Jesus lines up with the high priest. So just as in the Old Testament, the priests were called by God, and we see that Jesus was called by God. In Hebrews chapter 5, 4 to 5, it says, "And no one can become a high priest simply because he wants such an honor. He must be called by God for this work, just as Aaron was. That is why Christ himself did not honor, Christ did not honor himself by assuming he could not become high priest. No, he was chosen by God. So Jesus was called by God. Secondly, just as in the Old Testament priests understood the people's needs, Jesus understands our needs. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested." And then also down in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet did not sin." Excuse me. Just as the Old Testament priests carried out the Day of Atonement service as well, we see that Jesus fulfilled our atonement. In Hebrews 2, 14 to 17, it says, "Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people." And then also again, it mentions the same thing about the fulfillment of our atonement in chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. "Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for those who obeyed him." And just again, as the Old Testament priests, they mediated and interceded between God and the people, Jesus, the Son of God, is mediating for us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us now come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and he will find grace to help us when we need it most." And then in chapter 8 of Hebrews as well, it mentions again, in chapter 8, verse 6, it says, "But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God, based on better promises." From these passages, it's clear that Jesus has obviously fulfilled the role of the high priest. According to the Old Testament, he's ticked all the boxes that all the Old Testament priests did. Yet while we here are comparing him to the high priest of the Old Testament, we do need to remember that Jesus didn't just come and fulfill the role of the high priest. He didn't just come and fulfill the role of the high priest. Rather, he actually concluded the role of the high priest. He was the last high priest. Unlike the earthly high priests that we compared Jesus to, who are imperfect, Jesus was perfect in every way. And he is our great high priest, because even though he is the Son of God. He humbly became a man so that he could live amongst us and face the world and its temptations as we do, so that he could understand as we understand life and its struggles. He is our great high priest because the atonement sacrifice that was made for us was perfect. It didn't stay dead like the goat that Aaron would have sacrificed. It rose again and broke the power of sin. The sacrifice as well was himself, so that we would receive that gift of eternal life. He is our great high priest because after rising from the dead and conquering sin, we know he ascended into heaven and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for each one of us. So why does it matter that Jesus is our great high priest? Well, when we understand the self-sacrifice of Jesus, our great high priest, it should give us a greater love and affection for Jesus, because his self-sacrifice was the greatest act of love that was ever displayed. We came and we had nothing to offer Jesus except our broken lives. We didn't deserve his life. We deserved death in the form of eternal separation from him. But because of God's merciful and gracious plan, Jesus, our great high priest, has done everything that was necessary to save us, each one of us, from our sin. We couldn't earn salvation and we don't deserve salvation, but we now have salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. But there's a problem with this, because sometimes we, as sinful human beings, we look at Jesus' superiority as our great high priest, and instead of making us want to come to him, sort of like in the children's talk when mum and dad calls you into the room, you know they love you and they want the best for you, but it still doesn't make it easy to walk into that room when you've done something wrong. And in the same way, it makes us want to run away from God, because we ourselves, we feel like we are not worthy of this sacrifice of the high priest, or that he would never even accept us as we are or understand what we've been through. All we actually expect to receive when we think about coming before the high priest is judgment. Judgment from a perfect judge. And it reminds me a little bit, a long time ago actually now for me, when I had to go to court. I was probably 18 years old, driving my car, and I had not been wearing my seatbelt, so I got caught, and then I'd excuse me. And then one afternoon driving home when I was doing my apprenticeship, had run through a red light, lost all my demerit points, and so I was going to lose my license. But if I was going to lose my license, likely I was going to lose my apprenticeship. And so I had an opportunity to go to court. And how many people have been to court before? Just me? Okay. All right, I was going to say, like, it's not always, it sounds really bad, but it's not always a bad thing, like going to court. So I was going to court to appeal to get my license back so that I could keep going. But it's that fear of walking into the courtroom. If you've ever been in a courtroom, it just makes you feel guilty, even if you're not guilty in circumstances, or if you're going in there for something minor. And I walked in and I needed to have all this evidence for me to be able to prove that I should get to keep my license so that I could keep my job. So I had letters from my boss and all of this sort of stuff, and you stand in there and you swear the oath and all of that stuff. And thankfully, I got granted to keep my license with one demerit point for the next year and then go back onto my normal license. But it's just that idea of walking into the courtroom. I felt so guilty and I had to provide all this evidence to say, well, this is why I should be let off. But when we know that Jesus is our great high priest, it should be the opposite to that way. It shouldn't make us feel so guilty and worried about coming into the presence of God because of the things that we've done in our life or because of the situation that we're in. Rather, we should look at Jesus' superiority and the things that he did for us, and it should make us want to run towards him because of all the sacrifices he made to reveal his mercy and grace and love that he has towards each one of us. So we don't need to feel guilty or shameful, or we don't even need to come with supporting evidence when we come before Jesus, because he, as our great high priest, has done it all. And all he wants for us is to come to him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you are a loving Father who had a plan and a purpose in place that Jesus would come and fulfill the role of the great high priest. But not only fulfill that role, that he would conclude the line of the priesthood as our final great high priest. And Lord, he did it so perfectly that at times it can make us feel guilty or ashamed of wanting to come before him, Lord, for the way that our lives have turned out. But we thank you, Lord, that all of these things that Jesus did wasn't to make him superior and so great that we would never come to him, but rather the complete opposite, Lord, that these gracious and merciful things that he did for us shall make us want to run to him no matter what is going on in our life and be ready to receive his gift of love and mercy and eternal salvation. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.